we come to this final reflection for our weekend, concentrating on and focusing on the idea of praying with Mary, we have basically come full circle, you might say. We started with St. John Paul II's great encyclical called Mother of the Redeemer, which gives a beautiful theological and spiritual overview of the place of Mary in the church and the place of Mary in our lives, ending with the idea of we are a pilgrim people of God. We are moving from one point to another. We are moving from becoming children of God at our conception and birth to becoming fully united with God in heaven. We are moving as Mary did, from a fiat where we accept God's will in our lives and we accept that we are nothing without Him and that we are willing to allow Him to be an important force in our lives. And as a result, we move toward the Magnificat of Mary, where she said, "My whole soul, my whole being magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has done great things for me, and holy is His name." So she could do great things now for others because God had done great things for her, and she realized it. She recognized it. She acknowledged it. She appreciated it. She had gratitude for the gifts that God had given her. Now she could give her gifts to the church and to the world. And so the great gift of herself becomes her motherhood of us as her spiritual children and her discipleship of Jesus as a great model of faith for us all. And finally, her intercessory power as a heavenly queen who is there at Jesus' side as co-redemptrix for us, as someone who is concerned for our well-being and ultimately for our salvation. And so we went through those five joyful mysteries of the Rosary, which involved Mary in such a special way, and the wonderful doctrines of Mary, the beliefs that we have about her with regard to the Immaculate Conception, the perpetual virginity, the assumption into heaven, her influence in our lives, her influence in the church, her beautiful feast days that we celebrate throughout the year, but most especially that fourth one, the motherhood of God, the very first title that she received in the church as Mother of God, and then consequently Mother of us all. And so now we get to the point where we realize that Mary has done so much for us. How do I use her most effectively in my life to help me to be more like her, to help me to pray with her, to help me to use her powerful intercessory presence in my life to accomplish my vocation in life? The ultimate vocation of which is to become a saint and to get to heaven, to be with her, gazing upon the face of God, which we call the beatific vision. Our gospel story today sets us up nicely for this conclusion, because it shows how God had to work in the lives of those disciples who were not disciples yet at that point. They were just fishermen. But He had to work in their lives to bring them to a point where they appreciated the fact that nothing good is going to happen without God intervening. They worked all night as professional fishermen and had no fruits, nothing to show for it. But when they listened to Jesus, and when they followed His instructions, look what happened. This miraculous catch of fish, more than they could even handle. It almost sunk two entire fishing vessels. That's a lot of fish. And Jesus said, "You think this is great? This is nothing. You continue to follow me, and you will be fishing for men. And when you catch one of those fish, It will bring you more joy than all the happiness that you ever had from all the fish that you ever caught in your entire career. One of these spiritual fish, a sinner who has come to Jesus, will reward you greatly. And it will be part of your reward in heaven each time you catch these fish. And once again, if you thought it was hard to catch physical fish without my help, it will be absolutely impossible for you to catch spiritual fish, spiritual children of the Father, without my assistance. But together, we can do great things. Now, he obviously gave a very compelling argument and speech, because what is the gospel? How does the gospel end? They left everything behind and followed him. No questions asked. That's how compelling discipleship of Jesus is. And when we consecrate ourselves to Jesus, what we are saying is that we're willing to do what the apostles did, to take everything in our lives and recognize that it has to be secondary to following Jesus. If following Jesus is my very first priority, as it became in the disciples' lives, then my life will be fulfilling, and I, like the apostles, will too participate in this mission of Jesus, which is saving souls. And that's exactly what Mary did so perfectly. And that's why she becomes the mother and queen of our church and of our lives. Mary herself recognized before anybody else would that she was a mere humble instrument of God. Remember in that Magnificat prayer, which we prayed the last evening with our evening prayer, "The Lord has done great things for me. Holy is his name." At the Annunciation, she said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." I am the handmaid. I am your servant. I will follow. And it's in her following that she becomes such an inspiration for us all and such a powerful intercessor for us all. If we likewise follow Jesus through and follow him through our devotion to Mary, we too can become great instruments of grace for others and for their salvation. And we can do that best ultimately by consecrating ourselves to Jesus through Mary. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about a consecration that I know many of you are already familiar with, because I saw you walking around with this book, and some of you guys saw it in my room and mentioned it. 33 Days to Morning Glory. This is a retreat, a do-it-yourself retreat by Father Michael Gately, who belongs to a religious order devoted to the work of bringing about a greater devotion to the Divine Mercy devotion. But he connects it very closely to devotion to Mary. And this retreat somewhat mimics the 30 days of preparation that St. Louis de Montfort originally gave to the church to prepare ourselves for a consecration to Mary. But Father Gately looked at it and said, there's a lot of preparation and stuff in here, but not a lot of explanation about what it is that we're doing and why it is we're doing it. And quite frankly, he found that there was a lot of tedious prayers and litanies and things that were leading up as a preparation for consecration that he thought could be simplified and brought into modern times and made more contemporary and more helpful. So the way he self-describes his own 33 days of preparation for consecration is as spiritual reading and prayerful pondering. It's a wonderful little summary of exactly what we are called to do. Spiritual reading and prayerful pondering. It's meditation, and contemplation, if you will. It's exactly what we do with the scriptures, right? We do a reading of the scriptures, which is the spiritual reading, and then we prayerfully ponder how this speaks to me and how it might affect my life. St. Louis de Montfort had taken centuries of Mariology, which means the study and the spiritual explanation of Marian themes and Marian prayers and Marian devotions. He put them all together to come up with this full life movement of consecration to Mary. And what Father Gately adds to that is he takes and simplifies it, first of all, but then he also brings in more contemporary Marian figures and makes them part of that preparation, part of that retreat. And the contemporaries that he adds to St. Louis de Montfort, who is his first chapter and the first week of reflection, the topic of it, is then St. Maximilian Kolbe, who I mentioned was responsible for spreading about those miraculous medals, so had a great devotion to Mary and wanted that consecration through the miraculous medal, as it had been done for hundreds of years earlier through the wearing of the scapular. Secondly, Blessed Mother of Mother Teresa, soon to be Saint Teresa of Calcutta, and also Saint John Paul II. These are great giants of Marian spirituality of our day. And so what Father Gately does is he asks us or invites us, or the reader, the participant, to ponder the message of these four great saintly figures. To first learn a little bit about them, he spends a couple of pages doing that, and then to ponder prayerfully their message. And of course, the message the method that he is trying to promote is a very Marian approach of receptivity, of openness to pondering in our hearts how this affects me, how I can live this out in my life. We know that in sacred scripture, it talks about after Jesus' very first miracle, at the wedding feast of Cana, when Jesus was working these great miracles, it says that Mary pondered on these things and reflected upon them in her heart. So as Jesus was doing great things for other people, she pondered on them and reflected on them in her heart. And that's what we do when we read sacred scripture itself. We reflect on what happened to others and how God intervened in their lives, and we ponder those things in our own heart to see how those great events of the past are still very relevant for me today, because they can help me to live my life better. So this 33 days, then, he presents not as simply a preparation for an ultimate consecration at the end, but he calls it a do-it-yourself retreat. See, the retreat, you know, if I didn't start the retreat by saying, okay, I'm going to spend the next 30 hours preparing you for our final Mass, you know, and then the Mass, it's all going to come together. That's what it's all about. No, I said, there's going to be reflections. Here's what we're going to do in each thing, each talk, each exercise, each reflection, each moment of the retreat has its own benefit. And that's what Father Gately wanted to do with this 33 days of preparation. To not just make it all about that one day at the end when I actually make a consecration to Jesus through Mary, but rather to make it a retreat where I'm growing in my appreciation for what it means to be devoted to Mary and doing it by reflecting upon the lives of four great spiritual leaders and giants in our church who themselves advanced Marian spirituality in a significant way for the Catholic Church and for the world. And so each week is dedicated to one of them in the order in which they came onto the scene and contributed their own Marian spirituality. And then there's five final days where he kind of reviews the previous 4 weeks and then concludes on a Marian feast day with the consecration. Now, thankfully, in the Catholic Church, we know how to party. And when we have somebody great to celebrate, like Mary, we find many different ways to celebrate her life. And on the official Catholic calendar, there's 17 feast days that show up. There are many more if you count all the religious orders feast days that have been added as well. But there's 17 feast days listed in this do-it-yourself retreat book, which signals the end of the 33-day retreat. So you pick a day on which you want to make the consecration, you work back 33 days, and you start on that day. And he even calculates that for you. He gives you, okay, if you want to do the consecration on October 7th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, which is when my parishioners did the consecration, then you work back 33 days to September, whatever it is, 3rd or 4th or something, and you start your first day on that day. And so it's nice to do it as a parish or with a group, perhaps getting together maybe once a week and talking about the particular saint that you studied during that week. That's what we did in our parish. There's also a video series that goes along with it to help stimulate discussion and to deepen our Marian reflection. But that's not even necessary. It's a do-it-yourself retreat, so you can do it on your own. Hopefully all of you will be inspired to do it or to do it again because of having been on this retreat. Now, he calls it 33 days to morning glory. So there's something special at the end, he's suggesting. Morning glory. It's kind of like it's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's the day of the resurrection. The sun is shining. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's something that we can't always count on in the winter days of Nebraska. But we've got this beautiful light shining in the chapel. In fact, I turned off the lights before Mass, because I wanted to for us to bask in God's light, the light that comes from the natural light of the sun, and then also to bask in the light of the glory of God himself, who brings the light of the world to this altar today at this Mass, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We want to bask in that light. So Father Gately is saying morning glory is when we have that sense of the resurrection type of life in our own souls. In our spiritual journey, sometimes we have setbacks and sometimes we have great leaps forward. And he's suggesting that if we make this 33-day retreat and end it with an authentic Marian consecration of ourselves, that will be a day of morning glory. That will be a leap forward in our spiritual lives. That will be a day where we really feel moved to say, I am now a Marian type of person. I have a Marian spirituality. I feel a closeness to Mary such that I can entrust myself to her each day and feel like I don't have to take on the normal worries and anxieties and fears that many of us take on. As Deacon Keating was saying in the last series of talks that we heard, but that can be replaced rather by a trust in God. God will take care of things. I now can rest in the peace and the joy and the love of the Heavenly Father and of his whole family under the patronage and under the mantle of my blessed spiritual mother, Mary. When Father Gately read True Devotion to Mary, which is the centerpiece of the Mariology of St. Louis de Montfort, St. Louis de Montfort, described Marian consecration as the short, easy, secure, and perfect way to become a saint. Now, Father Gately looked at that and said, what? Come again? Let me read that again. Maybe I didn't read that right. A short, easy, secure, and perfect way to become a saint. He said, give me some of that. I'm all over it. Short, easy? This is like the fast food society's dream, right? We've got a spirituality that's as good as going to Burger King. Load it up. I'll take everything on that. I'll have it. I don't even need to have it my way. I'll have it your ways. give it all to me. And he suggests that his retreat is even, it's still short, it's still secure, and still a perfect way to becoming a saint, but he took the easy and tried to make it easier. He didn't make it necessarily shorter. It's still 33 days. He didn't make it any more secure. Both work just fine. He didn't make it any more perfect. How can you perfect perfection? Impossible. But he suggests that this is easier because it's in a more contemporary style, and because it brings forth contemporary saints, it's people we can relate to, people we even know. Heck, I shook the hand of John Paul II on a couple of occasions. I touched him on several different times and different points in my priesthood. And so I can relate to him. I shook the hand and had a conversation also with Mother Teresa, another contemporary saint. It's a great honor. It's a great privilege. I'll never forget those moments in my priestly life and in my seminarian time, my time as a seminarian, which is when I met Mother Teresa. So for us to be able to think of those people, people whom we've seen at least on television, if not closer, and recognize that these are the people that are going to help me to come closer to Mary, is significant. And the other part of easier is that it is put in a language that even amongst the people who are less educated, it might be more accessible. Father Gately went down to Guadalupe on a whim. It was a providential whim. He went down there and found out that they would very much like to have this 33 Days to Morning Glory in Spanish. He made a Spanish version. He found a donor that was able to provide 1 million copies of this do-it-yourself retreat in Spanish down there. And within 10 days, all 1 million copies had been gobbled up by the priests and the leaders who wanted to give them to their people. So imagine the effect that that can have in a place that's known for Mary's influence. Remember, she changed that culture in in Mexico City and that area from being a child killing. They did child sacrifices that was even worse than abortion. Kids that were already born, who were 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, were sacrificed, killed, offered to lifeless false gods. And in that society, that was turned around because of Mary's apparition coming to those people 500 years ago at Guadalupe. Now here she's exercising her influence once again. We live in very perilous times. You know, it's not just the people in Guadalupe that are desiring something Marian. All of us living in this very sin-filled society want and need for Mary to purify us and to purify our culture. And Saint Paul said to the Romans, and the Romans lived in a society very much like ours, very much dictated by governmental rules, very secularized, and very hard to bring religion into the mix. And Saint Paul said to those Romans, he said, "Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more." And so that's why Father Gately, in one of his other books, says, now is the time for mercy. Now is the time that God wants to bring mercy in a great way to our world. Because there's great amount of sin, mercy is really needed. The Immaculate Conception, the gift of perfect purity in the soul of Mary from the time of her conception, was God's gift to Mary, which all also then became our gift as well, because Mary offers herself to us. So now consecration to Mary then is our little secret, our little special gift from God that will help us to help change the world as Mary, being immaculate, is able to help change the world for the better, especially by bringing her purity, her chastity, her holiness into this valley of tears, this place of great sinfulness, especially in the area of sexuality. When we see something consecrated, it means it's set aside for a special task. When this altar was put in this chapel, it was consecrated because it's only set aside for one purpose, for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This whole chapel was consecrated by the bishop when it was built because it is set aside as a place of prayer and worship, a place to meet God, a place of meditation. When a priest is ordained, he is consecrated on the palms of his hands with the sacred chrism oil. He is set aside for a particular purpose to bring the Word of God and the sacraments and the teachings of the Church to the children of God. And when we consecrate ourselves to Mary, it's a self-consecration. It's a self-offering to have ourselves set aside to help Jesus fulfill his mission, to continue the work of Jesus. Just like these apostles in today's gospel were called aside from and away from their work as fishermen, so that they might be consecrated to the work of Jesus and to the mission of the Church, which is, of course, to save souls. From now on, you will be fishers of men. And those of us who take our spirituality seriously realize that all of us, along with Mary and the other saints, have been called to be fishers of men and women in the world. Mary's task, you might say, was to give spiritual birth to Christians and to feed and nurture them with grace so as to lead them to grow in full stature in Christ. Her mission was to help Jesus to make saints. And that's why it's appropriate for us to see her as a spouse to the Holy Spirit, because Mary gave initially the Holy Spirit permission to conceive Christ in her womb. And now she's partnered up with the Holy Spirit as a spouse to help conceive Christ in us. So first she said, Holy Spirit, you can conceive Christ in me. Now as our mother and as our guide and as our intercessor, she is now partnered up with the Holy Spirit, say, okay, now let's conceive Christ in others. And just as Christ came out of the womb of Mary into the world to redeem it, so also when Christ comes into us through the consecration of Mary, Christ will be birthed out of us in the form of good works and in the form of our apostolates and our vocations to help Jesus to accomplish his mission, to make ourselves saints first and then to help him to make saints of all other people. The purpose of Marian consecration, according to Father Gately, is that we are invited, he says, to, quote, rest in the womb of Mary and be transformed there by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful quote? We are invited to rest in the womb of Mary and to be transformed there by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just as by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary and then given growth in a natural human way, we are called to enter into the womb of Mary and under her mantle, and where the Holy Spirit lives as her spouse, and then allow the Holy Spirit to transform us and bring us into the world in a new way. The definition that Father Gately gives of Marian consecration is this: giving Mary our full permission to complete her motherly task in us, which is to form us into other Christs. Isn't that beautiful? I'll read that again. His definition of Marian consecration is giving Mary our full permission to complete her motherly task in us, which is to form us into other Christs. So here should be our prayer. Mary, I want to be a saint. And I know that you want that too, since it's part of your mission to help Jesus to make me into a saint. Thus, you have my permission to work in me with your spouse, the Holy Spirit, to that end, to make me a saint." Father Gately describes Mary as a gentle mother, and he says she makes the lessons of the cross something sweet, and she pours her motherly love and solace into our every wound. And for that reason alone, we should want to be consecrated to her, so that we might experience the cross as something sweet, as did the saints, and that so her love and solace might heal and soothe our wounds. I will end by sharing with you the actual prayer of consecration that a person makes at the end of this 33 days as kind of wrapping up exactly what this whole retreat of praying with Mary has been all about. "I, a repentant sinner, renew and ratify today in your hands, O Immaculate Mother, the vows of my baptism. I renounce Satan and resolve to follow Jesus Christ even more closely than before. Mary, I give you my heart. Please set it on fire with love for Jesus. Make it always attentive to his burning thirst for love and for souls. Keep my heart in your most pure heart, that I may love Jesus and the members of his body with your own perfect love. Mary, I entrust myself totally to you, my body and soul, my goods, both interior and exterior, and even the value of all my good actions. Please make of me, of all that I am and have, whatever most pleases you. Let me be a fit instrument in your immaculate and merciful hands for bringing the greatest possible glory to God. If I fall, please lead me back to Jesus. Wash me in the blood and water that flow from his pierced side, and help me never to lose my trust in this fountain of love and mercy. With you, O Immaculate Mother, you who always do the will of God, I unite myself to the perfect consecration of Jesus as he offers himself in the Spirit to the Father for the life of the world. Amen."